The following audio is from Steadfast Church in Asheville, North Carolina. We exist to proclaim the good news of Jesus for the joy of all people to the ends of the earth. For more information about our church, our resources, or to support our ministry, please visit steadfastavl.org.
Happy New Year. You look thinner already. I'm going to use that every single year. Ryan, I'm moving this because it's going to get me, and I'm going to say something I shouldn't from the stage. So welcome to Steadfast Church. If you are new here, I'm so thankful. Listen, we don't take it lightly that you have chosen to be here this morning. Whether you're new or not, I know that it's hard to get up out of that warm spot in the bed in the morning, especially for the 9:15 service. It's hard. It's hard to get the kids ready. It's hard to get yourself ready. But you're here, and that means a lot to me, and so I'm grateful. Listen, if you are new, I want you to know this. We exist here at Steadfast Church to proclaim the good news of Jesus for the joy of all people to the ends of the earth. And if you are part of all people, then this church might be for you. We believe here that God is present. We believe that his words to us in the scripture are true. And we believe that the joy of the Lord is our strength. There are so many things in this world that promise us joy, don't they? And they all fail. They all come up empty. They come up short. They end up disappointing us. And there's many things, obviously, that rob us of our joy. Jesus is not like that. Jesus does not make empty promises. Now, 2024, for many of us, was a doozy. And as we start a new year, many of us want to see changes. But how many of you know that simply turning the page on the calendar doesn't actually change anything? Change begins inside. And so many of us, we're here at church January 5th because we desire a vital and a meaningful faith, which begs the question, why so many of us settle for Christianized mediocrity? That is not the abundant life that Jesus came, that he died to give us. We have little sense of God's glory in our lives. We expect little from him. We attempt little for him. And this is not at all what Jesus desires for us. So, you know, if you were with us at Advent, we began the Advent season, or we journeyed through the Advent season, looking at this promise from Isaiah of Emmanuel, which means, remember, God with us. What better way, brothers and sisters, to start 2025 than learning together how to be with God? And so here in John 15, that's where we're going to be. If you have a Bible, I'd invite you to turn there. John chapter 15. If you're using a pew Bible, it's page 848. John 15 gives us the very essence of Christianity. In other words, the X factor of how to see fruit in our lives spiritually. And so if you have felt stagnant, if you have felt discouraged, if you felt like giving up on this whole thing, John 15 is for you. And I imagine there's a handful of us who feel that way or have felt that way. So my ask, if you are new around here, is, and even if you aren't, hey, stick with us for the whole series. I know it's hard to come to church like every Sunday, but if you will make the effort, okay, over these next four or so weeks, I believe that they will bear a lot of fruit in your life. So John 15, now I'm going to read the first 11 verses, but I want you to know that we're primarily going to focus on verses 1 through 5, and even there, we're going to double click down into verse 4 and just sort of camp out there for a bit. But I want to give you all the verses in order for you to see the context, and we're just going to spend probably a month, maybe longer, I don't know yet, in John 15 and see what God has for us. So you guys ready to study the word? Amen. All right. Follow along with me as I read John chapter 15. These are the words of Jesus. He says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers. And the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. These are the very words of God. Hear them, believe them, and live. Let's pray. Father, it is a privilege and a joy to be together in this room with these brothers and sisters, with old family and new friends alike, and to start this new year together, to begin a new era of your grace, a new opportunity to not only grow deeper in our relationship with you, but to make you known. What a privilege. And so in the short time that we have together this morning, as we look at John 15, at this very familiar passage to many believers, so familiar that it sort of becomes trite and meaningless, Lord, let that not be the case this morning. Give us open hearts, open ears, open eyes to see what we've never seen before. To experience you in a new way through your word and by your spirit in such a way that we launch out into 2025 with a freshness, a vitality in our relationship with you that will carry us no matter what storms come our way, no matter what trials, no matter what this year brings, that we can remain in you. That your joy would be in us and our joy would be full. This is our ask. This is our request, Lord, and I pray that you would honor it here as we look at your word. We pray this in the beautiful name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. Now, the first thing I want to point out to you here, and I'm not going to reread all the verses, but it's really the invitation to abide in Christ, the invitation. Now, Jesus made 8 I am statements in the Gospel of John. I preached a series on that a number of years ago. If you want to, it probably isn't on the Steadfast page, but if you're interested, I can send you a link. This is the first one, this John 15 is the first I am statement that's specifically addressed to his disciples. And it's a metaphor, of course. He says, I am the vine, you are the branches, we are the branches, and the branches that are vitally connected to the vine, he says, will bear fruit. This is his sort of theme. 6 times in the first 8 verses, I believe it is, we see him saying, bear fruit, more fruit, much fruit. That's his aim, right, is that as we abide in him, our lives will bear fruit. Now, some people think this is the fruit of evangelism, and that may be true, but I think more than that, it's the fruit of a life that reflects more and more the life and the vitality and the character of Jesus himself. He even says to us here in verse 1, I am the true vine, which indicates to us there are what kind of vines? False vines. There are things that you and I think will bring us life. There are things that we attach ourselves to that we think will bring us vitality and meaning and nourishment. And time and time and time again, those things come up short. And we end up dried out and brittle and not thriving. And so our Father, he says in verse 1, is the vine dresser, the divine gardener, if you will. Now, I don't know much about gardening, shocker, okay? But I know a few who like to garden, and here's what I know about gardeners. None of them want their plants to kind of thrive. No gardener is content with like a half a yield of a crop, right? No, they want them to really thrive, to be very fruitful. And so what does the vine dresser, what does the gardener do? He prunes, he cuts back. And listen, pruning is painful. We've all experienced that. Some of you are in the middle of a severe pruning right now, and it's tough. It is painful to have these things cut away. But listen, here's what God is doing. The divine gardener, all he's doing is taking away deadness, taking away folly, and freeing our lives up for greater fruitfulness. That's all he's doing. And so here we see the invitation, verse 4. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. Now, this language of abiding, once again, I believe Jesus uses it 7 times in 8 verses. Now, abide is not a word that we use a lot. And so I looked it up just to help give us some context here. And here's what it means. To abide means to stay, to remain, to dwell. Many of us use the language putting down roots, right? I've heard people say that when maybe they move to town and they want to put down roots, or more than likely it's when they move away from town because they realize they can't afford to live here and they're like, we're going to go home and put down roots, right? Abide. Everyone is abiding in something. Everyone is counting on something. Everyone is preoccupied with something. And how do you know what it is? Well, I think it's the thing that you turn to when you are up the proverbial creek. That's what you're abiding in. So you and I are not coming into 2025 as sort of impartial people, you know, unbiased, uncommitted, with Jesus asking us to commit to him. We're coming into 2025 committed to something. And Jesus, in his mercy, is asking us, how's that going for you? How's that working? And if you and I are honest, for many of us, we'd have to say, you know, Jesus, not too well. Not too well. Boy, do we feel verse 5, some of us. Apart from me, you can do nothing. We feel it deeply. Now, okay, on the surface, there's a whole lot of things we can do apart from Christ, right? We can exist in space and time in this world apart from Christ, sure. We can go get up every morning, you know, via the alarm clock, snooze 4 times, and go to a job that we hate and sort of stuff our soul down into our socks and endure without Christ. We can put up with a spouse who is cold and unloving and preserve a marriage by essentially staying apart from one another without Christ. That's possible. But we can't know life without him. We can't know vitality. We can't know Christ without Christ. We can't know real, earth-shattering, heart-filling joy without Jesus Christ, without abiding in him. So all those things that we can do apart from him, at the end of the day, they are all various recipes for death. And we're really good at coming up with new recipes for death. They're all fruitless. And who wants to settle for fruitlessness? So this, John 15, is an invitation into the living Christ, the life of the vine flowing into the branches. In other words, we cannot truly live without him, and so we must stay dependent upon him, which is the challenge of John 15. Because branches do not get to determine the level of dependence that they have on the vine. Let me say that one more time. Branches who are fruitful do not get to determine their level of dependence upon the vine. If they separate from the vine, what happens? Less fruitfulness? No, death. So abiding in Jesus Christ cannot be something that you and I sort of cram into our already overbusy and overscheduled lives when we're able to. That is not the way to fruitfulness. Any of you who have endeavored to achieve any goal know that you can't put half-hearted effort and marginal time into it and see it come to fruition. Some of you have set goals to lose weight or go to the gym or whatever. Work out, get ripped, whatever it is. I don't know. And I'm telling you, you're going to start, this week you're killing it already, all right? I can tell already. But 2 weeks from now, when that alarm clock goes off and you go, I can get out of bed and go to the gym, or I can keep sleeping. And you choose the comfortable bed over the discipline of getting up and going to, you will not see the fruit. It's the same with our faith, brothers and sisters. You cannot cram Jesus into whatever marginal time you have left and expect your life to bear the fruit of Jesus. Abiding implies commitment for the long haul. And so before we move on, my question to you is this. If there was a verb to describe your relationship with Jesus right now, what would it be? Is it abiding? Some of you are so not happy that you came to church this morning. You're like, I want to be encouraged. Now I feel awful. It might get better. No, it will get better, I promise. All right, so we've looked at the invitation. Jesus says, abide in me. Okay, what's the source? It's right here in verse 4. Abide in me. So if you're a note taker, point two, it's the source. Abide in me. Now, I'm going to confess to you, I don't quite understand this. That Jesus invites us to abide in him, that he is simultaneously present and available to me and to every one of you in the room and to every believer across the face of the earth, across all time and space. I don't know how that works, but Jesus said it, so I accept it. There's mystery here. This is what Jesus is doing. He's offering himself to us. I think of Psalm 46. God is my refuge and my strength, a very present help in times of trouble. How many of you need God to be very present? So here's Jesus opening his very heart to us. We don't deserve him. We have failed him and betrayed him a million times. And yet, Jesus is speaking to you and to me right here in January of 2025 with the same compassion that he did those first 12 disciples. Abide in me. There's another place in John chapter 1. Let me just read it for you really quickly. Is this making sense, guys? It's super quiet, but I trust that you're locked in. I love this line. For from him, from Jesus, from his fullness, we have all received grace upon grace. And the implication, of course, is upon grace, upon grace, upon grace, upon grace, upon grace. From his fullness. So to thrive, to abide in Jesus, is to access the fullness of who Jesus Christ is for every single need that you and I have. And you know what's even better news than that? We can never exhaust him. Jesus essentially is saying to us, and we don't like to hear this, but it's true, that we are endless human need. We are high maintenance people. And he's okay with that. So he's saying to us, come to me and stay, and I will be the difference that you need. We don't even have to be good at it, guys. Because he's great at it. And he will teach us. He teaches us, by the way, more by experience than by explanation. You learn to abide by abiding, not by reading about abiding, not by hearing a sermon on abiding. You learn by experience more than explanation. We simply have to stay open to him. Moment by moment. And his life flows into our need. And so it's like this. You are on social media, and which you probably should cut back on that. You're scrolling, and there's a link. There's a picture. That's enticing. Lord, help me. Scroll on past or turn it off, right? Moment by moment. You're driving the car and somebody cuts you off and you go, God, help me not to curse at this person, right? Your kid comes home and they've gotten themselves into a real mess. And you want to throw the book at them. But before you do, God, I need you. I need you to help me show your love to this child. You see what I'm saying? And then, you know, 2 minutes later, it's like, Lord, thank you. Thank you for helping me. Or I need you even more, right? It's just this constant moment by moment connection to God. Whatever you're doing, whatever's going on sort of on the surface, underneath is this sort of, Lord, here I am. I need you, right? We sing that song, Lord, I need you. Every hour, I need you. I think we need him more than every hour. It's like every second. So we stay open to him moment by moment, and moment by moment, his life flows into our need. Church, what is there in Jesus Christ that will ever let you down or disappoint you? So here's what, frankly, almost nobody really believes. The best life, the life of richness and fullness and thriving and meaning and joy, as we saw in verse 11, is found in coming to Jesus and just staying there. And it's there that we find freedom from yesterday. And as we sing in the old hymn, strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow, because he is faithful to us. So hear me. Abiding in Christ is not a set of principles that we sort of apply into our lives, but it's rather about him offering himself and we enter into him in some mysterious way. And all of us, as I said earlier, are high maintenance sinners, but he loves it. The Lord loves it when we come to him 50 times a day with our need, with our insufficiency, and he is our willing and joyful supply for every area in which we need him the most. What is it that you need today? What need do you have today that is not awaiting you right now in Jesus Christ? All right, you still with me? All right, so we've seen the invitation, we've seen the source, abide in me. Now we see the promise. All right here in verse 4, abide in me. And what's the second part? And I in you. Abide in me and I in you. We are in Christ, and Christ is somehow in us. The life of Jesus flowing into ours like sap into the branches, right? That's the metaphor. The vine Jesus, us, the branches, the sap, the livelihood flowing into us. This is a metaphor that, you know, theologians call our union with Christ. And for any of you who may be on the fence about this thing or think that, you know, Christianity is just another religion where you follow a set of rules and, you know, one day God is like, you're in, or you're not. I want you to know this is not religion. Abiding in Christ is not religion. Religion is a cul-de-sac of effort and exhaustion. Christ, abiding in Christ, is an overflowing fountain of life and vibrancy and joy. And so this is not religion, but this is a profound and intensely intimate relationship. When you and I receive the finished work of Jesus Christ in his life, death, and glorious resurrection with the empty hands of faith, we are so united with Jesus Christ that his death becomes our death, that his life becomes our life, and we are, to use the agricultural language, grafted into Jesus, the risen Christ, the vine, forever. And he supplies everything that we need for life and godliness. And I in you. You know what that means? And this is where abiding in Christ gets a little uncomfortable. When Jesus says, abide in me and I in you, he means all those little dark corners and crevices in our soul where we stuff shame and guilt and woundedness and trauma, all those places we've never let anyone into, all those places we would be totally embarrassed if anyone knew even existed. But Jesus, he comes most gently into those places, into the darkness, with healing. Which means if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, you must stop believing that you will never change. The last two words of the Old Testament are utter destruction. And if that describes you, I have good news for you. Jesus does not see your failure and destruction as a barrier to him abiding in you, but rather as his opportunity to love you, to show you the love of the Father. In every single way that you and I disappoint ourselves, Jesus offers himself to us as the true answer, and it's his glorious all-sufficiency that fills every bit of our insufficiency. Why on earth would we ever hold back from such a gracious gift? Now, as we wrap up, there's one last thing I want you to see here. It's not a point, but I'll just point it out to you. Look at verse 5 again with me. Jesus says, I'm the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Now, we usually focus on the last part of the verse. Apart from him, we can do nothing. But look at the other part of the verse. Whoever abides in me, he it is who bears much fruit. That's good news, right? And not only is that really good news, Look at who it's addressed to. Whoever. That's amazing. This offer is not just for some Christian overachievers. This is not like the Christian gifted program. This is for anyone who would simply open their heart to receive him. There's some of you who are Christians, but man, if you're honest, your life has been fruitless since like the Nixon administration. And that doesn't necessarily mean you're not a Christian. But God did not intend you to bear no fruit. for year upon year, decade upon decade. There's some of you, of course, as I mentioned earlier, who are being severely pruned right now. And so there's not much fruit to show. God is cutting back. And that is a painful but beautiful thing because it means he's preparing you for greater fruitfulness. There are some of you, though, in this room who are not Christians. And it's become evident just by hearing today's sermon. And you have pursued everything that the world says will bring you joy and happiness, and it has borne a lot of things, but none of them has been joy in your soul. None of them are what you would call fruit. I need you to know, Jesus did not come to make pretty good people a little bit better. He came to bring the dead to life. He came to bring those dead, fruitless branches back to life and flourishing. When Jesus went to the cross, he took all of our failure and our folly and our fruitlessness as if it was his own. And Jesus, when he went to the cross, he was nailed up to that execution cross. And when he pushed up on his nail-pierced hands and feet and said, "It is finished," that counted for you. The penalty that you owed was paid in full. And on the third day, of course, Jesus gloriously rose from the grave. He is now alive and ruling and reigning. And he offers life and vitality to anyone, to whoever would simply open their hearts and their hands and receive his work for them. All we do is come to him and just stay there. And I know some of you right now are going, "Yeah, but how?" And that's what we're going to talk about in the next few weeks. That's why we're spending multiple weeks in this passage, okay? We just come to him and we stay there. And here's the beautiful truth. When you and I are vitally connected to Jesus the vine, the natural result is fruit. He says it multiple times here, but the branches do not bear fruit by themselves apart from the vine, do they? No, it's the vine that produces fruit through the branches. This is what God intends for us. So as you stay vitally connected to Jesus, the vine, the end result naturally, inevitably will be fruit in your life. Now, it may come slower. It may come more quickly. I don't know. We'll talk about that too. But the key fruit, at least in this passage, is found right here in verse 11. "These things I've spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full." Who doesn't want that? Who doesn't want fullness of joy? And I love this because it shows me that Jesus is the most joyful person that's ever been. He says, "My joy will be in you, and my joy is so much that it'll fill you up. I got an endless supply, and it's all for you. My joy will be in you and your joy will be full." And so here we go. We're launching into 2025. We are a people who want to commit ourselves to abiding in Jesus Christ. And I know today's been a little bit more of a maybe higher level and you're asking like, okay, but what does it look like to actually abide in him? And that's what the next few weeks are going to be for. And so as we wrap up this morning, here's what I want to do. I've got four questions I want to put on the screen for you. I really do hope that you'll take these into consideration through this week, that you'll reflect on them as community groups may be starting up here shortly, that you might discuss them, even just take them to brunch with you and talk about them with some significant others. And then we're going to move into our time of response, so that involves communion. I'll set that up in a second. And then we're going to sing a few more songs before we get out of here. But here's the first question. I asked it earlier, but I'm going to ask it again. What verb best describes my relationship with Jesus right now? What verb best describes my relationship with Jesus? For some of you, it is maybe abiding would be the word, right? That's the verb. I remember a number of years ago talking to a neighbor of mine, and somehow a question like this came up, and her answer was hovering. she was just reluctant to take that next step into a relationship with Christ. And by God's grace, we were able to, you know, talk with her and pray for her, and she ended up taking that step. But for some of you, it might be running. For some of you, it might be longing. I don't know. What's the one verb that would best describe your relationship with Jesus right now? And I might follow up to say, and are you satisfied with that verb? Second question, in which areas of my life do I sense the Lord calling me to bear more fruit this year? Now, this isn't about achievement for the sake of God, okay? This isn't like he's got a quota and I must fill it. That's not what I'm talking about, okay? There are particular areas maybe of your life as you reflect that you go, and it's not like, you know, I mean, maybe it is physical stewardship of your body, but maybe it's more like, hey, there's something in my character that I know doesn't quite reflect the character of Jesus, and I'm convicted when I feel that sort of gnawing sense in me. It's not condemnation, but it's an encouragement from the Spirit that I need to grow here. What areas of my life do I sense the Lord calling me to bear more fruit this year? Third, and I think this is for a couple of you, how can the truth of my union with Christ give me assurance in seasons when I don't feel fruitful? So particularly for those of you who are in that pruning season right now, or maybe you've just come through it and, you know, if you looked at the plant that represented your life, I mean, it looks like somebody murdered the plant, right? How can remembering that because of what Jesus has done for you in his life, death, and resurrection, you are in union with him. His death is your death. His life is your life. You are welded to him. And everything that is his is yours. In a season where your life is not bearing much fruit, not because of your sin, but because of hardship, suffering, trial, that kind of thing, how does that give you encouragement and assurance? And then the last question would be this. What is one step that I can take today towards a deeper abiding in Christ? Our relationship with the Lord is one step at a time, okay? And so there may be a step of obedience that he's calling you to take. There may be a step of faith that he's asking you to take. There may be a step of repentance that he's asking you to take. There might just be a step of surrender. That you've been holding on to something for way too long. And Jesus is saying, hey, this is the year we let it go. What's one step that I can take today towards a deeper abiding in Christ? All right, so here at Steadfast, we respond in a few ways. The first of those is communion, which we participate in weekly. And as we prepare our hearts and our minds for communion, here's what I want you to think about. Jesus, again, metaphorically, is asking us to feast on him, right? The bread representing his body, which was broken for us so that we could be healed and whole. His blood, which was spilled for us so that we could be cleansed from our sin and unrighteousness. And he said, every time you gather, I want you to participate in this as you remember me. Well, if Jesus is the vine, then we as the branches are coming to these tables to take spiritual nourishment from him. There's no magic at these tables. There's nothing, you know, mystical happening here, but there is mystery in that Jesus is blessing you. He's coming to nourish your soul as you come and take physical nourishment from these elements. And so I want to invite you to that. I want you to come and receive as a branch who belongs to Jesus the vine. I want you to receive nourishment for your soul. Maybe there's a particular thing on your heart and on your mind that you're like, Lord, I need strength for this. Strength for today, bright hope for tomorrow. Here's where I need strength. Would you supply it? And you come to this table in thanksgiving and in trust and in faith. If you're not a Christian, I'm going to ask you just to not come forward. This is for those who have surrendered their lives to the Lordship of Christ. And maybe that's you today. Maybe you know that's the step you need to take. And I'll invite you into that in just a moment. But let me pray. And then the band's going to make their way back up here. We'll sing a few songs. You'll start at the back. So those of you who are at the back rows, you can make your way forward, take the bread and the cup, and then as you make your way back to your seats, there's black boxes at each exit. If you're new around here and want to be known, there's a Connect card. You can drop it in there. If you're a regular or a member and you want to give financially towards the work of this church, you can do that in those boxes as well if you don't already give online. And if there's any way that we can pray for you, the back of that card is for prayer requests. I'll also invite you to a time of prayer at the end of the gathering, but you can write out a prayer request on those cards and drop it in the boxes as well. So let's go to the Lord in prayer, and then we'll respond to him. Father, I thank you for the men and women in this room. I thank you for a new year, again, a year of fresh grace in which we can pursue you, in which we can abide in you, and we will find that we are not disappointed, that we are not disillusioned, but we find true life and meaning and joy in you. That doesn't mean life is not hard. It doesn't mean we don't go through great pruning. But it means that you are worth it. So Lord, there may be someone here today who does not know you, who is feeling the conviction of your spirit upon them. Someone who maybe has been around this church for ages and is realizing just today that they have never actually entered into a vital relationship with the Lord Jesus. They've never actually abided in you. And so, Lord, today, even in their seat, they can simply pray to you and say, Jesus, save me. Jesus, I want to abide in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Please save me. I turn from sin and I turn to you. And I ask you to save me. And the Bible says that when we confess with our mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, we will be saved. He answers that prayer 100% of the time. Maybe there's some of us in the room who are just in that pruning season, that stuck, stagnant, coming out of much hardship. We just need an extra measure of your grace this morning, your tenderness. Would you provide that for us, Lord? As we participate in communion, as we receive strength for today, as we sing these glorious truths of who you are and what you've done, as we pray and as we give, would you be honored and glorified? And would you give us a foretaste of heaven in the room as we experience the joy of the Lord, because you are here present with us now. We ask all these things in the beautiful name of Jesus. We pray by the power of your Holy Spirit. Amen.